Hello, welcome to Stardust Records. I'm Savi, and I'm here with my co-host, Linz. And we have just finished episode 6 of The Acolyte, and I've been saying this every week. Best Acolyte episode so far, in my humble opinion. This episode was called Teach/Corrupt. Whenever the twins are apart, I've noticed that the episode has two different names. Day and night, they were together. Third episode, they were together. I don't know, maybe I'm remembering incorrectly, but yeah, I thought that was a good little touch.
Yeah, because in Destiny, they were together, at the flashback, and then day and night, they were on the same planet. So yeah, and then of course in this episode they're apart, and it seems like, I mean, obviously there is hidden meaning behind the dual names Teach and Corrupt. At first glance though, I'm wondering what's the teaching and what's the corrupting, because I feel like teaching and corrupting are speaking specifically to Osha in this episode, but what does Teach and Corrupt mean for May?
I don't know. Well, the episode ends with Soul, and we can jump around. I love jumping around, I think. But the episode ends with Soul saying that he has had 16 years to prepare for this moment, and now he literally has May tied down, and he is going to teach her about what happened, essentially his side of the story. I don't know. We've only gotten Osha's.
Just to go off of that ending, I am so like scared of Soul now. I mean,
something like shifted in him.
He was scary.
Yeah, his countenance entirely changed. I remember saying to my husband right when it had happened, I was like, something just shifted in this man. He sounded so different.
And when he said that he wasn't going to harm her, I was uncertain of that. I didn't believe him completely. But when Chimere says the same thing to May or Osha at the beginning of the episode, I believed him. I was like, Chimere is saying it, and I believe that he's not going to harm her. But I felt the opposite when Soul says it to May. And that says a lot. That's crazy. So going back to the beginning of the episode, or just speaking on the episode overall, I loved the pacing of this episode. I loved the back and forth between Osha and May and Vernestra. I thought it was so well done. It was engaging. It kept it flowing very well, but it also, upon first watch, didn't feel like it was over immediately. And I loved that about it. It was good. It was so good. And I watched it, I had time to watch it one more time, most of the way through before we recorded. And still, I was just impressed with it, you know, all over again with the pacing and the music, the intro music, where she's waking up and there's like she steps outside onto the beach and there's like the flutes and the like warm violin. And
yeah,
every time that it would go back to the island, it had a softer, sweeter tone, the music did. Yeah. And I was like, ooh, this is so...
I feel like this episode was, welcome back, AO3. It was okay. I wasn't letting myself jump directly into the Osha Chimere ship. I was giving it one more episode, and this was the episode that I needed to just completely swan dive into it. And I was thinking about Leslie's article that she had done about the enemies to lovers thing, and I was like, oh boy, we're really in it now.
We are. And I'm not ashamed to say that I'm here for it. I love a good enemies to lovers. Who knows how it's going to end, but I'm a shameless enemies to lovers lover. So this was definitely a fun episode in that respect. And Yeah, it gave everything. It gave the tending to her wounds, leaving her water, like
Soup.
soup,
Pouring her soup.
making her soup, letting her decide what she wants on her own, like letting her like have the chance to kill him. The water going into the water scene, like with, naked. Like had every like trope you could think of,
I
and
know. I did not think we would get Nakey Chimer. He was very Nakey. We didn't see anything, obviously, but
but she
we,
did.
yeah, she did. Oh my goodness. But there was the reveal of his scars in the scene. And you know, we're jumping back and forth in traditional Stardust fashion, but let's talk about Vernestra a little bit because I feel like there's something that she might be hiding. And I know in the High Republic books, like she's had some experience with the dark side with Emery and Elzar. And I, you know, I don't know. What did you think? Because I have a theory. But I want to know what you thought first.
Well, I didn't really pick up on the Vernestra and Chimer connection until this episode. I didn't give it much thought because we didn't have confirmation that Chimer was a Jedi until this episode. But once we did, it kind of got me thinking, and her kind of, she seems suspicious, like she knows more than
Yeah, then
she's
she was
saying.
letting off.
And also, I'll hand this part of the theory over to you because you made the full connection here, but there was also a shot of Chimer that kind of lended to the thought that Vernestra could be the Jedi that threw him away. So why don't you kind of take it from there and
Well, as it was going on, I don't know. The scars jumped out to me. I didn't really think anything about it. Like I didn't think about Vernestra's light whip. I wasn't putting two and two together really until the scene on not on Brendok, on Kofar with Vernestra. I just felt like she was just being very, very secretive. And at one point I was like, I do not think that this has to do with keeping it from the High Council anymore. I think that there's some deeper meaning to this. And the moment Chimer started talking about, you know, being in the Order and having a master that betrayed him or something like that, and then Osha asked for the scar, where he got the scars from. And I don't know, it just felt, it clicked. Also, I found it very interesting that the Padawan, or yeah, the Padawan said that he thought that it was Sol. And she said, that's a bold accusation. What did that mean? She didn't outwardly deny. Like, she didn't be like, no, he could never.
So she knows something more about soul, but
Yeah.
also that could also be covering for her, I think,
Yeah, I don't
in a
know.
sense. His scar does look like it's not a traditional lightsaber, like it's not a stab, it's not it could be a whip scar,
Yeah.
lightsaber whip scar. So I think yeah, Vernestra is definitely at the center of all of this, or at least very much caught up in the orbit of it. She knows more than she has been letting on, and obviously Sol does too. But I don't know that Chimer is I don't think Chimer and Sol are very connected. I'm
Me
hesitant to
neither.
think that they are connected very well. Like, I think they know of each other, perhaps from the past,
Yeah, because
but
he, Sol said in episode 5 that he felt familiar.
And Chimer spoke to him very familiarly. I know he said, like, oh, you don't recognize me from the planet they had been on previously in the episodes, like episode two. But I don't know. And if he had been a Jedi, then they probably did, cross paths or something in some way. It's so also bringing up the line that Chimer says in episode two to, I think it was Osha, when Osha comes in, or maybe it was May. I can't remember who it was at that point, but he was like, oh, don't, are you gonna do the, like, or was it the Jedi? I can't remember who he said it to, but he was like, are you gonna do like the mind wipe thing on me?
I don't
Like,
remember.
as if it's something that he's aware of and familiar with and has experienced or seen, that like the Jedi have like wiped people's minds. That is really suspicious to me too. Like, I would not be surprised if there has been some memory messing with that has happened with some of the characters. So I don't really know how that factors in, but they don't add these lines for nothing. They were set for a reason, and so we can take them as clues. It's the plot thickens. The
I
plot thickens.
know. The plot does thicken.
I feel so bad for May. Like, I know she's like tried to kill him and everything. He has her strapped down. Soul, come on, what are you doing?
I don't know.
And I love how, like, when Basil is trying to fight her, she's just like, okay, get off of me. Like, she doesn't try to hurt Basil. She's like, this is just a little
No.
guy. This is a little guy, like, come on. It
I
was
know. I love that he was trying to bring Pip back. It reminded me a lot of absolutely no correlation, but it just reminded me of the scene with Cal Kestis and BD-1 and Cal fixing BD for the first time. But I completely off topic, but not really. Do you think that they're on Octo? Do you think it's
I
Octo?
do. I
I think
do.
so
Like,
too.
I want to wholeheartedly believe that that's Octo. What other planet would it be? Maybe it's like a di obviously it's probably a different island. Perhaps there's no way that this isn't Octo. Like, it has
Even
all the
the little creatures looked like mini thalassirens, to me at least. Like I just felt like there was some correlation.
And the part where she walks out, or they both walk out onto the little like ledge way where they have their confrontation, and it reminded me of like the it had that little fencing. That fencing reminded me of the fencing that was around. It was in the deleted scene of The Last Jedi, where Rey goes to the caretaker's party. And it just reminded me so much of like the infrastructure or lack thereof around like their, seaside dwellings. It just reminded me of that. And I would not be surprised if in another episode soon, Chimer takes Osha to some sort of force well or force, spot on the island.
I don't know. It's a really interesting. Also, I love. Okay, if there is a connection between Chimer and Vernestra, this is what I was literally just thinking about as you were speaking, but Kylo's theme plays in the credits. And the connection between, I love Book Vernestra. I am waiting until the end of the season to completely decide how I feel about the Acolyte Vernestra, but is this kind of like a Luke and Kylo situation where Chimer, I don't know, he says he lost everything. And I'm curious to know what that was. Like, what was everything to Chimer at the point where he was a Jedi? Because he didn't lose Vernestra if she was his master. Was it a similar massacre? I don't know.
He also has that line where he says, why do you love people who can only go so far, who can't go as deep as you can? And I really think that at the crux of it for Chimer, it has to do maybe not even with like anger or, grief. And it has mostly to do with love, and then that spire, like a lack of love or something in that respect. What, whatever kind of love it is, that was the crux of it in that exchange with Osha, was like, the Jedi can't love you like you want to be loved. They can't go as deep as you want them to. So why do you even try? And I feel like that's personal to him. So I feel like it has something to do with that. And oh, the scene where, I mean, we're jumping around so much, but the scene where she storms out right after that, what we're talking about with the love and everything. Right after that, she storms out and he follows her and he's like, "Aren't you forgetting something? Aren't you forgetting something? Like, you are, don't you want to kill me?" And then he's like right up in her face and he's like, "Why aren't you a Jedi? Why aren't you a Jedi, Osha?" The music is swelling and she's crying and his face is so, oh my gosh. I'm just sitting here with my hands over my head, like in shock and awe.
Well, I'm just so curious because May puts on his helmet at the end. May puts on his helmet. So she has to be some sort of convinced. She has to be so hurt by something that something inside of her was like something clicked, I think. Because I don't think she would have put on the helmet otherwise. I don't know. I think that Chimera could be a very He's a manipulator. The moment that he said, "You're the one holding the weapon," I was like, okay, welcome back, Armand, no last name from Interview with the Vampire. Just always changing the narrative to fit his desires, I guess. I don't know. To fit where he isn't the bad guy in his mind. Like when he said, When she says, "You killed Yord, you killed Jeki," he says, "Well, I killed Jedi." Because in his mind, he is the good guy. The Jedi are the ones that did him wrong, I guess. What were you going to say? You were going to say
Well,
something.
yeah, and it's so, you're so right, because he wants a rule of two. He wants the power of two. He wants somebody at his side. So he knows where he went wrong with May, and he knows what he could do differently with Osha. And so that's what he's doing, is he, and he's trying to get her to tap into the power that she kind of let go of, but was always still there. If she would have, she could access it. She can. And she has probably what she's going to do in the next episode is find a way to access it again in the ways that he was suggesting, with going through emotion instead of, which is what dark side users usually do, is they go for strong emotions and then that's how they channel the force. So he's trying to get her to do that. And we still don't know why she left the order. She says it's because she failed. But how did she fail?
I don't know.
So.
Everything is not what it seems. If you get the reference, you were a Disney kid. But my hands are just over my face. There was so much to talk about. I got so excited about this, but the references to the High Republic novels when the Padawan, I'm forgetting his name, says, "Oh, you get sick in hyperspace." My favorite thing is that Vernestra has still not told anyone that Stellan Geos was the only one who knew. And it died with him. That information died with him. And so nobody knows. Hundreds of years later, Vernestra is still carrying this burden, essentially. Does she still see Mari Sonteca?
Girl, I She is going, she, you can
She's going
tell.
through
She,
it.
I don't know how she's held on to this for so long. She, in every scene, she looks halfway exasperated and halfway exhausted. And like she knows more than everybody else around her, but she can't tell anyone around her because she has all these secrets that she has to keep. And so she's just like, they talk to her and she's just always a little bit on edge. And this isn't me like bashing her character or anything,
No,
but
but
it's just an
she's a good character.
observation. She's
Yeah.
just like, she's just on edge the whole time. I'm like, girl, like have a confidant, like
I know.
have an outlet. You're so, you go, you're, yeah, she needs to.
She's still in Geost lineage. She is carrying this burden
This is true.
alone. It's
This
such a
is true.
Stellan thing to do. And I worry for her. I worry what she's holding in and what's going on in that heart and head of hers. So I don't know. I want to know what she's done. I want to know what she hasn't done. I want to know her relationship to Chimaer. I can't believe we have to wait another episode. I thought that this one would be the flashback, but I think it might be next week. Because we can't end on a flashback. Like, I think the way that this episode
Yeah.
ends was leading into Sol's side of the story because we still haven't gotten Kel Naka's scene from the trailers where he's fighting Sol and Torben on Brendok.
Yeah. It will be next episode, I'm sure, because Sol is primed to tell May like what happened. And I'm interested to see if it will just be him telling her or him showing her through the force in some way.
Yeah.
So yeah, I'm really worried.
Me
I'm really
too.
worried for how that's gonna go down. I just the fact that she I just can't get over the fact that she is restrained. I mean, I understand, but I also am like, I don't like it. I don't like it.
I don't know. It's a very interesting dynamic, Chimaer and OSHA. I moved on from that. Sorry. It's a very interesting. My brain is literally at the speed of light right now, thinking of everything. But I really am so sorry for Sol. I feel like this is not the first time that this has happened with him, especially with how he reacted when he kind of, put his fist down on the control panel. It just made me so sad to see him in such a situation when he said, "My whole team is dead."
It
And
hurt.
I was so delusional. I was like, I mean, I know they're dead, but we're queens of being delusional. We're Rogue One fans, but seeing Jackie and Yord's dead bodies, that was sick.
It was that shot was just so jarring. The shot straight to Jackie's lifeless face. I felt like
Yeah.
I had been stabbed with a lightsaber. And yeah,
Yeah.
three times in the chest. So yeah, that was really, I can't even speak on it. I was just so
No,
sad.
just their eyes still being open is such a
Ugh.
sick, sick decision to make. But I absolutely love, still applaud the writers for making the decision to kill off those characters, I think it's a really brave move and not done very often. And I think it was very well done in episode five. It's really heartbreaking, but if you think about it, Alden told me this, but I don't think that this is the end for any of those characters. Like, I don't know. It's Star Wars. We get characters in every different aspects, even when they die. It's like we get a
Yeah.
comic book later, we get a book, we get a one shot. So it's definitely not the end for them, I don't think.
Yeah, we have hope in that way. It was nice to see that the helmet, I mean, we learned before this episode came out, they came out with it and said that like cortosis was used in the helmet and the gauntlet. But it was cool to see someone speak about it, see Chimer speak about the material of the helmet. And it was interesting to see him working on it and fixing the cracks because we know that Leah told us last episode that cortosis is very brittle, and so he had to repair it. And we also, upon further examination of the scene in episode 5, which I was so scared to go back to, other people examined it for me. I didn't notice at first, but Yord had broke the gauntlet. Like when he
Yeah,
was
he
fighting
did.
Chimer, he broke it off of his arm. And so,
He
yeah.
got he at in the scene with the pool in this episode, you could see that at when Yord cut the gauntlet, he got his arm too.
He did, yeah.
He got
He
one hit in before
one
he
hit
bit the bullet, hit the bucket. I don't know the saying.
Oh, kicked
Kicked the
the
bucket, one of those.
and then when Osha goes up to the helmet and she's gonna put it on, she's looking around, she's like touching it, and then she looks up and she sees that vein of ore going up in the cave. And I took that to mean that that was cortosis going, that was a cortosis vein in the cave. Because like, why else
Yeah.
would you just like look at it, you know? Chimer had said in this episode that cortosis dampens your senses. It's like a sensory deprivation metal. And so obviously when you put it on your head, it's gonna have, you're gonna be one with the force basically. If there's cortosis going throughout that cave, I wonder if that is like a, could act as like a cloaking mechanism. So like if somebody force sensitive was outside the cave and they were trying to use the force to find somebody, would they be able to find them while they're in that cave that cortosis is like in the walls of? I don't know.
Yeah, well, I just fact checked myself. Well, I read Thrawn Alliances not too long ago, back in April, and I had to Wikipedia myself just in case. But Thrawn, I guess spoilers for Alliances, but Thrawn, I mean, it's on the cover. Thrawn and Anakin go to a cortosis mine. So I had to look up the quote, but it's Thrawn says it's very rare. It's rumored to have unusually high energy absorption and transmission coefficients. And he said something else. It's soft and frangible, useless for building into armor or other protective materials, which is funny, which is why it came apart so easily and why we see Chimer putting it back together again. But they used in Thrawn Alliances, they were using it for the battle droids, but yeah, so it looks like it does grow. And on Wikipedia, it says it was only found on two planets, which was one of them with the mine and Alliances. And then I don't know the other one, but is it also found on Octo now?
I would not be surprised. I would
Me
not be surprised.
neither.
Octo is a perfect place for cortosis to be. I would not be upset. I would love that. Of course, I wouldn't be upset about it. I love all of this. This episode, such a juxtaposition to the last one. The last one,
I
I never wanted
know.
to see again. I was so afraid to watch it. I
I
was watching
still
all these.
haven't watched the last episode once again.
Me neither. I was watching, you know, because being a, I mean, I like Chimer for the fact that he's just such a good character. So I was watching all the edits of him on Twitter, and it was like a minefield. I didn't know if one edit was going to have Jeki and Yord's death in it or not. So I'd be
Yeah.
like enjoying the Chimer edit, and then I'd be faced with Yord's neck snapping on a beat, and I was like, no. But
Yeah.
just such a juxtaposition to, or from this last episode of not wanting to watch it again to me immediately rewatching it right after this one ended. Love that. Love the Acolyte. All the round of applause. I love that there's an episode that I never want to watch again, and I love that there's an episode that I could watch a million times over and
Yeah.
enjoy. And
That's so
so,
true. This
oh my
episode
gosh.
is extremely rewatchable. Yeah, I also just I love that you said this earlier, and I just want to go back to it, but you said the pacing was really well done, and that's so true. And it being a juxtaposition to episode five was very fast paced. And Leslie had said in an interview that we all read it. I think it was the same interview where she was talking about the enemies to lovers thing, but, or maybe not, but she was saying that she said that people were worried that episode five would have too much fighting. But then she said, no, people will pay attention. And I feel like a lot of people, or I feel like that same thought went into this episode without the fighting, more with the dialogue. It felt like a High Republic book, switching point of views. It felt like one second I was with Elzar and Avar, and then the next I was with Bell and Burry. Like it was, it felt very, this episode felt the most like a High Republic novel for me. I
Yeah,
don't know. Not to
no,
compare
I
the
feel the
novels to
same.
the show, but yeah, it just had like, I just also wonder if, and sorry going off on this huge tangent, but Charles Soule is writing the last adult novel, and this is a big part of Vernestra's story right now in the Acolyte. So I do wonder if they're,
Oh.
yeah, I don't
If
know.
they're gonna weave it. Well, because the no, that's a good point because the comics are now having a little tagline on them on the covers that say 100 years before the events of the Acolyte.
Yeah.
So it's like they're merging the Acolyte into the High Republic. I would not be surprised if there's something in the last book that alludes to the course set for the future for Vernestra, like you said.
Yeah.
I would not be surprised. And I would love to see it. Please, Captain Scott. Please.
Oh, Charles.
Charles Soule. Please, Charles Soule.
I don't have any theories for next episode aside from the fact that it's probably going to be a flashback. I think Soul is definitely going to be telling May about what went on Brandok. I think that he's ready to let that go. 100%. Even if
Yeah.
it's not to Osha. I am really excited to see their dynamic.
May and Soul.
Soul, yeah.
Yeah.
Chimera said something that still really stuck out to me was that he said to Osha that Osha considers Soul more than just her master. I'm assuming a fatherly figure or someone that she could depend on. And I feel like she loves him. And I don't know. It's interesting. Soul definitely held May close to his heart, I think, even thinking that she was dead. I think that he felt that that was his responsibility, maybe, to keep save her. I don't know. I could be wrong and eat my words. All of my predictions for the show have just gone down the drain. Like, I feel confident about the Chimera being Vernestra's Padawan theory, but welcome back, Andor. I had all of these theorizations for Andor and got none of them right, but that's okay. Do you have any theorizations for next episode?
I think that, yeah, we're gonna definitely get a flashback. Soul's gonna fess up. And I think that we're gonna get, I don't know if the whole episode will be a flashback, though. I would really like it if we had Soul explaining what happened on Brandok to May, and then perhaps Chimera and Osha revealing to each other what happened in their pasts. So Chimera explaining his past to Osha explaining like why she left the Jedi Order to him, and then that will be like their sort of bonding, I guess.
Yeah.
And
Yeah.
then we'll see if she goes down a darker path with him, or not. And then we have a whole other episode at the end. And
Yeah.
I wonder if May will be able to give Sol any insight into what happened as well, because he has his version of what happened and he's had to grapple with it. But maybe May can tell him something that he didn't realize about that night that she can let him know about. Maybe that will change both of their perspective and thought on what happened, and both of them can like let go of some of that pain together and then go look for Osha. I don't know.
Yeah. I don't know either. I'm ready for next episode. Let's pack it up this week. Let's hurry it up.
Yes.
We don't need to have this whole week. Let's just push us to next Tuesday
Yes.
already.
Where's our time machine? 4th of July. I don't know her.
I don't know who that is.
Let's just skip all that and go right to next Tuesday.
Well,
Well,
is there anything else we want to touch on before we end the episode? Was there anything else that we forgot or?
I really don't think so. I just hope Pip is okay and I hope Basil is okay.
Me too.
I hope
I'm
Pip has some sort of get back Pip's original personality, perhaps. I love that his eyes turned red. That was really so
Yeah.
classic. So classic.
So classic Star Wars, Pip in his villain era. He said, if I have to go through any more character development, I'm gonna develop into the
Exactly.
villain.
But yeah, no, I think that's pretty much it. It's gonna heal my brain this whole week, and I'm definitely going to be thinking so much about all that we were given in this episode. I will
Yeah,
be
me too.
partaking.
I'm ready. I'm ready for next week. So, where can we find you on social media, Linz?
You can find me at A Cosmic Love on Twitter and at Rebel Risen on Instagram. And where can we find you?
You can find me on TikTok and Instagram and Twitter at Andorisms. And you can find our pod at Stardust Records without the O on Twitter and on Instagram. And we will see you next week for another Acolyte review. But that's all for this episode. And please, Bernestra, I'm praying for you. I hope everything's gonna be okay. I am ready to apologize, not apologize. I am ready to forgive him for all of his crimes, though, whatever he's
Yes.
done. He
Yes.
might have done all of it, but I forgive him. All
All about
right.
forgiveness.
This is a forgiving podcast, but
It
we'll
is.
see you next week. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.